Good morning. Leave them on. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians and there find chapter 12. First of all, let me say how much I appreciate you being here, knowing that you've already, most of you have fulfilled your chapel requirements, and many of you chose to be here because you want to be under the teaching and the instruction of the Word of God, and that blesses me, and I pray that today will also bless you as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read from verses 12 through 18 in just a moment. On behalf of Tennessee Baptists, we are so proud of this institution. We are so proud of Union University. We are so proud for what you stand for and the journey that you are on. Well done, well done, well done. And it is a word that we want to pronounce and share not only across our state, but even beyond our borders for students like yourselves to come and get some of the best training, some of the best equipping, some of the best teaching, some of the best preparation days of their lives as you hopefully are seeking the heart of Christ and His call in your life. I know you've been standing for some time. Could I ask you to stand one more time to honor God's word? Allow me to read from this passage and we'll journey for a few moments together and see what God's word may have to say to us and challenge us today. God's word says here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell?" Verse 18. "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He," what? "Chose." Let's pray. Father, I am humbled to stand here today. I am unworthy. Father, it is all, I pray, all about You, all about Your Word, all about Your cross, all about Your gospel, all about Your kingdom, all about presenting Your love and grace and mercy from this place and around the world. Thank You for these students and faculty, administration who's gathered for these moments to love You, to affirm once again that we each want to decrease so that You might increase. Oh, Father, may Your Spirit, the great teacher, convictor, and comforter, meet us in this place through Your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Many of you, most of you, all of you probably, except for a few, really don't know me. So I want to be as transparent as possible for you today. I've never struggled so hard over what I might present from God's word as I have today. I mean, Greg, I've known for months, and I'm looking forward to our time together for some time, and I just was prayerful, and I kept saying, "Lord, what is it? What is for us? What is for You? What is for this gathering? What do we need to hear from You today?" And I just went here and there. And it's not that I couldn't gone to a file cabinet full of thousands of messages. It wasn't that I couldn't gone to a lot of places in Scripture and expound upon the riches and the fullness of God's Word. That is something that every pastor and preacher loves, enjoys doing. But you don't want to do it just to do it. What is the Word for me? What is the Word for you? And I really struggled with that. I want you to know that. I really, really did. And then the last few days, it just all for me. I hope in 20 minutes from now for you as well, it will kind of come together. I'm calling this message today, We Need You. We need you. I'm going to be as transparent as possible. I'm going to be as real as possible. I don't want to hide behind any veil. I don't want to hide behind any cloak or any tradition. I want to be just really upfront with you today. And that is to say that we need you. When I say we, I mean our churches. For my perspective from the Tennessee Baptist Convention or the Sunday Baptist Convention, depending on how long we continue that name, I don't know. And really, it's not really of much concern to me necessarily, because I don't think we need a rebranding. I think we need a repentance. I think we have drifted. We just sung in the song, Lord, I prone to wander and I prone to leave. The heart of your love and the heart of the gospel. I don't know about you, but when I sang that, I went, boy, that is so true. I am prone to wander. I am prone to leave. I don't know about you, but some things in life really aggravate me. I know that may sound unspiritual, but some things in life really, really aggravate me. Driving down the interstate really, really aggravates me. Does it aggravate you? Be real. We need driver's education back in our public and private schools desperately. It's like no one's ever read the handbook. It's like we've completely lost the perspective of courtesy and correct driving. The left lane on the interstate is the what lane? Amen. Thank you for knowing that. It's the passing lane. It's not the cruising lane. But I've noticed the last few years, people don't get that. They have transferred the left lane and the right lane, and they cruise in the left lane. And it irritates me. It aggravates me when I'm trying to get from one place to another, and you have this individual, whoever they may be, and, you know, they're just like sunny afternoon stroll drive along the interstate, and, you know, they always seem to find someone else in the right lane doing the same thing, and they're just kind of holding up everything. We seem to wander. We seem to leave certain things in life. We seem to lose a perspective if we're not careful. We seem to lose a caring heart. Those folks don't care. I mean, have you ever done this? Now, probably shouldn't, but I have. I'm just being real with you today. You get behind those people in the left lane, you follow them for a little while, and you finally go, okay. So you reach down, and you kind of flash the brights, you know what I'm saying? You know, just, hey, you. We're back here. We're lined up. There's like 50 cars behind me. Hello. And they just keep right on going. And then, you know, my wife, Judy, says, don't do that. I said, well, I'm just trying to let them know, hey, we just like to get around. Don't do that, because then they're going to get mad. And then they're just going to drive slower. And sure enough, some of them do. I'm going, what is wrong with you? Sometimes going down to South Florida when I go see family and friends, it's interesting to watch. It's interesting. If you've never been there on that road, 75 going south, check this out. See if it's not true. You get in a left lane. There's like hundreds of cars in the left lane, and nobody's in the right lane. Nobody. So you just get in the right lane and go. It's hilarious. We seem to wander. We seem to leave those principles and things that we know as courtesy and things in life. I think sometimes in church life, we have a tendency to wander. We have a tendency to leave the main thing. You are unique, I think. Because I think most of you have chosen to be in a place like this because you want your hearts to stay true. You want your hearts not to wander. You want your hearts to be focused and refocused on God's wonderful, beautiful plan for your life. And you're on that road, and I applaud that. You're studying and you're working and you're doing all these things in preparation of your heart, your soul, and your mind that you might adventure out, I pray, on a wonderful adventure in Christ that makes an impact and makes a difference. Some of you are saying, what in the world is this pole with a tennis ball on it? I'm not Moses. I saw this yesterday, and I just thought, you know, it was interesting. I went this weekend for a dedication service of our second grandchild, and she is 5 months old, Hayden Caroline. Now, I know you're already gasping. You're going, you don't look old enough to be a granddad. Thank you very much. We went for her dedication service. Our biblical principle that we followed is that nothing is more important in this world than our family except our relationship to Jesus. I've taught our boys that, Dustin, Drew, and Daniel. I've taught them that all their lives. Even when they were babies, I said there's three things I want you to know. Number one, Daddy loves you. Number two, there's nothing you can ever do to keep from Daddy from loving you. And number three, there's nothing in this world more important than Jesus than your family. Nothing more important than your family. And so we had this family opportunity. And so, you know, I said to the church, won't be there Sunday, going to go see Hayden's dedication. And anyway, on the way back, I was coming back through Midway's airport there outside Chicago. And I was walking on the way to the gate, and I noticed this gentleman who had a pole with a tennis ball on the end of it. And so I don't know you, but I like to watch people. Do y'all like to watch people? I sometimes like to sit back and just watch people because people are really what? Funny. We're hilarious. We really are. We're pretty funny groups. But anyway, this guy had a pole with a tennis ball on the end of it, and he was walking around, and it was clear that he worked for the airport. I mean, he had the whole uniform, you know, badge, name, the whole deal. And so he was walking around. I noticed he'd stop, and he'd do that. And he'd walk a little further, and he'd stop, and he'd do that. He walked a little further, and he stopped, and you know, his wife, what is he doing? And so I became a little more attentive, a little more observant, and I noticed what he was doing. There were, like, black scuff marks on the shiny tile floor, and he was walking around one by one, wiping those off. And when I noticed that, I kind of looked from hence where he came, and I noticed it was really nice. And then I thought for a second. First of all, I wonder if he thought that up. You know, instead of bending over and doing that, he said, dude, let's get smart. And so he says, hey, this is an easy way to do that. So if you have scuff marks in your gym or in your dorm, you want to clean them up here, you can borrow this and it'll work really well for you. But I thought about this. I thought, here this guy is all day long and this is what he's doing. Now, I'm not demeaning the guy. I mean, you know what? He's doing a good job. Because everywhere he went, man, it was no scuff marks. It was shiny. It was clean. It was good. But I'm sitting here thinking, man, are you telling me for every day, 8 hours a day? I don't know that to be true because I didn't stop and talk to him. But at least some of it, this is his life. This is what he was doing. But you know what? He was doing it and doing it well. So I'm not trying to downplay his job or what he was doing, but I'm wondering if it is that all? For one who would do that, good. So again, I'm not trying to demean him, but I am trying to ask myself this question. Is that God, was that God's plan for his life? Maybe so. If it was, man, well, high five, good deal, great, go for it. Man, get all the scrapes you can. Keep the floor clean, make it look good to the glory of God. If that's what God's called you to do, then do it. Do it with all your heart, do it with all your might, do it with all your strength, give it all you got. Do it with passion and do a good job. But honestly, I have to say to you students today, if you went home and said, when I graduate from Union, what I'm going to do is I'm going to work at the airport scraping up scruff marks. Now, you know what? If God calls you to do that, then do it. I would want you maybe to have some conversation with your parents if they pay all this tuition. This is what you're going to do. But, you know, you may want to weave that in a little slowly there. But if that's what God's called you to do, you need to do it. Here's the deal. Make sure through the journey, through the progress, where you're going, that you're going there because God has called you, God has shared with you, God has given you that which is in your heart to do it and do it unto him and give him all the glory as a result. If that's a pole with a tennis ball scraping up scrapes, then do it. If it's something else, do that. Just know whatever it is, do it. Because every one of you who are in Christ, you are vital into the kingdom of God. Now, this is not no new news. You're not going to walk and go, whoa, I never thought of that. I just want to remind you, you are vital. You are vital in the kingdom of God. And only you can do what God has called you to do. Never think who you are is insignificant or unimportant to the kingdom matters. Isn't that what the scripture we just read? What if the hand was to say, well, I'm not an ear, I must not be very, very important. Or the nose to say, the foot, I'm not very important because I'm not one of you. Let me tell you something. Most of the parts of my body that make me function, that make me available to live and to enjoy life, most of the parts of my body you can't even see. Does that make them not important? Absolutely not. That man, I thought about this. That man scraping those scrapes, I don't know what he thinks about that. I don't know what he thinks about that. As I thought about that, I said, you know what? At first I went, geez, come on. Get a life, right? You can do something better than that. But then the Holy Spirit is saying, wait. Are you saying his life, his part in this world, doing what he's doing is not important? I think we have a tendency to wander. I think we have a tendency to leave the heart of God, and we get confused a little bit, and we begin to drive our lives in the left lane when it's supposed to be in the right lane. Sometimes we can get just too complacent and just too comfortable. Can I tell you that when it comes to the Tennessee Baptist Convention, when it comes to the Seventh Baptist Convention, when it comes to Baptist life, and I know some of you don't come from that background, and I'm not trying to say, I think this still will apply from whatever background you come from, denominational life, whatever denominational life you come from. I'm not ignorant. I know the stats. I know what we're hearing. I know what we're seeing. But let me remind you a few things. Do you know we have the honor and the privilege as Tennessee Baptists to support through the Southern Baptist Convention what we call the International Mission Board? We have over 5,000 missionaries around the world. Do you know that most of those missionaries are married and many of those missionaries have children? There are somewhere between 18,000 and 20,000 men, women, and children around the world. In some places we cannot even identify because it would put their life in danger. They are there because they are supported by what we are doing as we cooperate together as churches of like faith, of churches of the same heart that would say, we believe in the power of the gospel, and we believe in the important place of the gospel, and we believe that God's called us to make disciples of all nations. And we are partnering together, even though we agree to disagree on some things. We partner together financially so that we might send these 18 to 20,000 missionaries somewhere around the world. That is not including the North American Mission Board. It also has thousands and thousands of missionaries. We are on a major new thrust in one of the greatest seasons of Southern Baptist life, of planting thousands and thousands of churches across our land to communicate not who we are, but who he is, to proclaim his truth and riches from his word. We are about, in the years to come, I prayerfully are seeing that we can make a difference. And let me tell you something. Look at me, ready? We need you. And I know I'm older, but I try to stay some connected to the younger, and I've had many, many conversations, and I know in many ways there's some disconnect. And I would call you today to remember this passage to say there's not one of many bodies, there's one body, but in that body there is many parts, and every part in the body is important. So what I'm trying to say from the text to you and to me today is that no matter what part you play, you are vital, you important. I just want to encourage you to discover and know the part and fulfill it to its greatest. To fulfill it to its greatest. If that's just scraping scrapes to the glory of God, then do that and use that as a tool for God to use to make a difference for his kingdom. You may get a degree and you may go be a lawyer, you may be a nurse, you may be an insurance salesman, you may be a car salesman, you may have your own business, you may feel called into full-time missionary work somewhere around the world. That may be you. But there's not a place, there's not a tool, there's not a calling that's not important. And we need you. Those coming into their 20s and moving into their 30s and years to come, to stay connected to Scripture, and staying connected to Scripture, stay connected to the church that Jesus died for. To not lose that perspective ever. Go back to the text with me. There is one body and many members. There is one Spirit. We were all baptized into one body, whether Jew, Greek, slave, or free. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. And then verses 14 through 17 talks about the different parts. Being careful not to elevate or de-elevate who you are, but you are of great value to God, to make a difference for his kingdom. Look at the last verse. I really wanted to remind myself of this great truth. Verse 18, but as it is, I love this, don't you? God arranged the members in the body. The word arranged there is a word that means to put in place. It means to put in place as if one was to lay a solid foundation. If you know anything about building, you know that you put footers and footers, you put a foundation, and everything is built upon that. This is what God's word says. God says, but as it is, I, God, have put each person in their proper place for my glory. If that's scraping scrapes in an airport, if that's going to some far country, if that is staying connected locally in a community that you grew up with in some kind of business, whatever that might be, God says, I have arranged, I have placed, and I have made you as a spiritual thumbprint for that place. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he, what? Chose. Don't you love that? The place I get to serve, the place I get to connect to, the place I have the joy of being what God wants me to be, guess what? God chose for me to do that. I don't know about you, but that is absolutely amazing to me. Because I am so unworthy. There is nothing good about me. God, in his infinite, sovereign will, with his great grace and his wonderful mercy, for some reason allowed me to do what I do, has called me to do that. And what an honor and what a privilege to know that God chose that for me. And I'm just trying to do my best to follow him in that. Time is winding down. Look at me. Ready? What is your stick? What is your place? And sometimes some of you would say, if you're honest, I don't know. That's okay. You're on a journey. The beauty is God has chosen, and what he has chosen, he will reveal. He will put you in your place. He will put you in the specific place in the foundation of his kingdom where he wants you so you might bring him glory. What is your stick? Where is your place in the foundation of his kingdom? What has he called you to do? Our youngest son, Daniel, we've had many conversations with him on this. He graduated from Master's College in California about a year and a half ago. And at one time, he felt like he was being called into ministry, and he made a commitment to do that. And then later on, he says, you know, I don't think I'm called to full-time service. Isn't everyone called? We said, absolutely, everyone is called. Some are called into full-time Christian service. Some else are called, not in that way, but still are called. Do you know, this is what we tell our folks in our church, we don't need more members. I have 3,885 members. I don't need any more members in my church. But what we are looking for are ministers. People who understand they are called of God to be used of God to make much of him and his son Jesus through the power of the gospel. We are looking for people to connect, to join hands and join hearts together to be much about the gospel, to be much about the ministry, to get outside the walls, to love the poor, to help the orphan, to reach out to the needy, to help the rich and up and the down and out. We want to be a people who are like a mighty army who understand our place in the kingdom, because the hand is as important as the head, and the head is important as the foot, and the foot is important as the rib, and the rib is important as the heart, and the heart is as important as the liver. Every part in the body, you got them all, I've got them all. Some you and I cannot see, but listen, every part is important. Look at me. You are valuable in the kingdom of God, and you have a place in his kingdom. Find that, discover that, know that, pick up your stick, whatever it may be, and march forward, because you are vital and we need you. The future. Future. I know in many ways maybe my generation has stumbled. We have wandered. Maybe we've even left some of the important parts of what God has for us. And for that I would apologize. But let me tell you something. You are following our generation. And we need you. We need you at the table. We need you knowing what your stick is. We need you to make much of Christ in whatever you do. And release the power of the gospel through your life. If you're a nurse, every hand you hold, you do so in sharing God's love. If you sell cars, every car you sell, you do so with integrity and character, and you share the power of God's love. Whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever the stick God puts in your hand, do it so that others may follow you and look back like I did yesterday and see that man's work and say, he's doing a good job. We need you. If you're a part of our Baptist life, look at me. We need you. We need your passion. We need your compassion. We need your creativity. We need you who think a little differently, who see things most differently. We need you to stay connected to Christ, to his church, and to what God's called you to do. Let's pray. Father, you are good and great and mighty. You are mighty to save. You are mighty to call. You are mighty to lead. We are your people who are called by your name. We are your church. From different labels, maybe so, but Father, may we all connect to what you called us to do. May we do it as unto you. May we give you glory. May we not make the mistake of saying, I'm a hand, I'm not that important, I'm just a foot, or I'm just a finger, or I'm just a toe, or I'm just this, or I'm just that. No, whatever part you've called us, however you have arranged us, however you have sovereignly chosen to place us in the kingdom's work, may we do it, even if it's a stick with a tennis ball. May we do it as unto you. May we give you glory. May the power of the gospel radiate through our hearts and through our lives and through our actions and most certainly through our words. Father, thank you for these students on the journey of discovery and knowing more of who you are and what you're about and where you want to arrange them, place them, and put them. Put the stick in their hand. May they run with the power of the gospel. May they be used today and the years to come. Father, we depend upon you as we look to one another, joining hands and joining hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Take your stick and go. Have fun. Enjoy the ride.